right. Good morning. Praise God. Are you guys feeling good? All right. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. Glad to see you all here. The most beautiful church in all of Southern California. All right. All right. I told you guys, I get up early and I drive and I check out every single church. And they're beautiful people, but this is the most beautiful. Amen. Welcome to Christ Community Church again. Glad you guys are here spending your Sunday morning with us. We're continuing a teaching series called Letting Go. Letting Go. And what we've been learning about as we're preparing our hearts for Resurrection Sunday, we've been learning that God came, right, not to condemn the world, but to save it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And we've been learning about how God doesn't want us to have a shallow religion, but He wants us to have a deep relationship with Him through His Son, filled with the Holy Spirit. And what we've been also learning about and going through different things about how God is meeting us at our need and how we need to take inventory of where we are in our walk, where we are in our life. That's what we're looking at in these 40 days, is we're looking at what are things that we need to, that maybe are a distraction in our life, and how can we dive deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ in this time. Amen? Today's message is called Clinging to Jesus. You guys saw the intro there. And we're going to be spending a lot of time in John chapter 9. We're going to spend a lot of time in John chapter 9 learning about a very familiar passage of Scripture. And, you know, I've preached on this a couple times myself. But, you know, a lot of times, if you look at it, when we talk about church, people cling to religious aspects of church. We're doing the religious thing. It's the good thing to do, but we're not spending quality time with Jesus, which is why the message is called Clinging to Jesus. And so we're just going to continue to ask God to meet us there, to show us, right, and as we go about these next 6 weeks, to really help us to identify what are some of the things that are being a stumbling block to us. So John chapter 9, let's go ahead and turn there. John chapter 9, and we're going to open to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but John chapter 9 occurs after chapter 7 and chapter 8, right? I told you guys, what did I tell you guys? Not only the most beautiful church, also the smartest church, all right? But the reason why I'm sharing this is that actually Jesus, and I'm sharing a little bit of the context, we're going to spend some more time into that section. But I'm sharing a little bit of context before we get into the Scripture. John 9 tells us that Jesus encounters a man who was blind from birth. Jesus is already in Jerusalem. He's there for the Festival of Tabernacles. You guys are from... The Festival of Tabernacles was told in the Old Testament, and it was celebrated. What they would do is the Jewish people would actually come. They would actually travel. It was one of those festivals where they actually, all of the Jewish people traveled, and they celebrated in what? And how many of you guys like camping? Okay, half of you guys. The other half of you guys, glamping? Or hoteling, right? Not your jam? I got it. Glamping, okay. Well, it's kind of like that. They would actually come and spend 7 days, and they would actually, it was called the Festival of Tabernacles or Booths. People would set up, and they would celebrate. Right, for 7 days, it was a festival of the harvest, for God's provision while they were in the wilderness. That's what's happening right now. So I'm just giving you guys a little context, but we're going to pick up in John chapter 9 and dive right in. And this is in verse 1. It says, "As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus. 'But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work, while I am in the world. I am the light of the world.' And after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.' This word means 'sent.' So the man went and washed and came home seeing. his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed, and then I could see." Amen. And we're going to take a little break there because we're going to be covering, we're actually going to read all of chapter 9. Okay? You guys have heard me say this before. We can wordsmith some things and sound okay, but there's more power in God's word than anything I'm going to say. Amen? And so, what's a little bit of the context of what's happening in this passage? You guys like to know, I always say this, you guys, I lead with this. You like to hear a story, right? I call it, that's the cheese man of the world, right? We like to tell the story of what's going on in the word, amen? And we call it gossiping the gospel. So the gossip or the gospel is what? What's going on? What was the story? Who was there? And so I'm going to, let's go ahead and look at that first map, Lily, so we can kind of provide some additional detail on the context. There it is. And so this is Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. And so it's important that we kind of recognize what's happening. Right? There's the Festival of Tabernacles is in full bore. And so folks are set up. Now, the teaching usually happens where? In the temple. You guys know that, right? Right around in the courts. Oftentimes, that's often where, very often, where a lot of the showdowns between Jesus and the Pharisees happen. Yeah? Because that's where they hang out. Right? Got to go where the religious leaders are. Now, what you'll notice, and if you go back and read John chapter 7 and John chapter 8, several times there's a conflict happening already between who Jesus says he is and who the Pharisees say that he is. And so this is, we go back, and I don't want to spend too much time, but there's a series of I ams that Jesus is actually already starting in these encounters. And this one, he actually says, in a previous one, this is the one where they actually, if you read John chapter 8, he gives the famous, "Before Abraham was," he says, "I am." You guys remember that? And what do the Pharisees want to do immediately when he says that? Because they say what? He's committing blasphemy. So they pick up what? Stones, right? And it says that he slips out of the temple and he gets away. That's happening over here. So just so you guys know, in the tradition, when they would go and set up their booths, right, Jesus and his friends would hang out where? I'm telling you guys are so smart. I didn't have to tell you guys, right? He was in the Mount of Olives. Now he's leaving, right? He's escaping, and what happens? He runs into somebody. Now pick up John chapter 9. What's happening in John chapter 9? He encounters a blind man from birth, right? Which is interesting that he makes that point. Because if you look at the Gospels, there's another series of blind men that Jesus has healed, right? There's another blind man, a man named Bartimaeus, right? Yeah. You guys are familiar with some of these passages. But this person right here, he encounters, and they're walking along, and he's a beggar, right? Because if you're somebody in that time, there's not like you can sign up for Social Security or SSI. The way that you made your living was by begging, right? And so they were often in areas where people would gather or people would walk by. Now Jesus sees him, and his disciples see him. They decide to ask him a question. What's the question that they ask? Who sinned, right? That this man was born blind. And that's an interesting question. Because in the Jewish tradition, when somebody was born with a blind or another kind of malady, it was usually attributed to somebody had sinned. Usually the parents had sinned, right? You guys remember in the book of Job, you guys remember that? When he was afflicted by all these things and the Lord allowed him to be attacked and to pretty much lose everything, his friends told him what? His friends came to encourage him? No, his friends came to what? They told him, "You must have some really bad secret sin in your life," right? You don't need friends like that, by the way. They were just, what they were doing is that they were putting him down, actually. And so that was the belief at that time. And the Jewish tradition was that if somebody was born with blindness, there was some sin. Now, what's interesting and what I want to point out before we go any deeper is that there's an assumption already loaded into that question. What is the assumption? You guys know what that is? Have you guys ever been asked a question that has faulty logic? Like somebody setting you up? Okay, so I'm going to give you guys one, but be very careful on who you use it, okay? Be careful on how you use this one. So after church today, I'm going to give you permission to go to somebody, hopefully somebody that you know, somebody that you trust. And what I want you to do is I want you to walk up to them and ask them. And I'm going to say, for example, Jesse, does your mom know that you are ugly? I'm saying, that's why I said you have to be very careful that you know that person. She has no idea. Do you see what that? Do you see what is wrong with that question? There's faulty logic built into it. Number one, sister, he's handsome, right? Amen. Yeah, see? So, but in that question, Jesse says, she does know. Well, then he's saying, yeah, I guess he's ugly, right? Nobody's going to say yes, you know. And if he says, no, she doesn't know. She's just my mom. She loves me. Either way, in both scenarios, doesn't matter how he answers, he's ugly, right? Do you guys see that? That's a question of faulty logic. So be very careful when people ask you different questions. You're like, is there an assumption baked in there? And oftentimes there is. Especially when you're debating things about God, you're going to notice a lot of people will try to put a trap before you, right? They want to kind of lure you in. I always say it's like if you guys used to watch those, you guys used to watch the cartoons. Remember the Looney Tunes cartoons? Where the little bird that runs fast, the Roadrunner, he'd always dig a hole and put leaves there and then wait, right? Don't be the Christian that jumps into that hole, okay? Be mindful of that. Now, Jesus catches on to that, and they loaded the question, saying, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus dispels that really quickly and says, neither of them, right? This man was born blind for what? For what reason was he born? He was born blind, right? Let me see. This happened, right, so the works of God might be displayed in him. That the works of God might be displayed in him. And then he proceeds to do something like really cool, right? What does he do? He spits and he grabs some. Yeah, that's kind of gross, actually. It is kind of gross. If you're thinking about it, it's like, oh, okay. But it is kind of gross. Like he spits and then he grabs some dirt and he makes some little clay, right? And then he walks over to the man. Now imagine the man, right? It's like, dude, what are you putting on my eyes? Like, get off. I don't know. Maybe we couldn't see him. Maybe it kind of creeped up on him. I don't know. But this is interesting because as you go through it, he sends him to go what? To wash. To wash where? In the pool of Siloam. I'm telling you. Guys, this back table right here, giving you guys a run for your money. Yeah. But what's interesting, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask a brother to come up, and he has his hands full, but I'm going to ask my brother Nico to come up right now. He doesn't know. He doesn't know anything about this. Sometimes we like to do this. We like to call people on the spot. But I need you to leave the baby, though. Yeah, I need you to leave the baby. The baby is beautiful, by the way. So, the baby is so beautiful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have him sit down, and I'm going to get some dirt, guys. Don't tell him. And sit him down. No, he doesn't know. Actually, I should have told him, but I didn't tell him. All right. I need you to put this on. And there's nothing wrong with it. You just put it on. Put it on. Go ahead and put it on. It's new. Nobody's. Okay. Put it down. There's a nose part that kind of push that down. All right. Now close your eyes. Right? Can you see anything? What does it feel like to be completely not to have your vision right now? What does it feel like? Do you feel vulnerable? Oh, yeah. Like if I walk up to you and I start taking your wallet or something? How would that?
There's no money in it.
There's no money on it. Praise God, he's honest. How does it feel? You feel vulnerable, right? He doesn't know which way he's looking. No, you're looking this way. This is the right way for the people, right? Turn him around like he's going to hit a piñata or telling me. All right. Now, he actually has some memory of where his family was sitting, for example, right? But what's interesting is that you don't catch in the passage of Scripture, right? Let's turn around this way. There you go. You want your family to get a good look at you, right? What's interesting is that Jesus has this encounter with him up here, and he sends him to go wash. And where does he send him to go wash? The pool of Siloam, right? That, just so you guys know, for a point of reference, it's about a quarter mile away, guys. It's down here. There's the pool of Siloam. Isn't that interesting? Oftentimes we miss that little detail, right? Listen, every one of us in here, we have a need from God for something. You think that he wasn't desperate to have his vision? I say, listen, sometimes when you read the scriptures, imagine what it would be like to not have the gift of sight. In fact, close your eyes, everybody, right now, just so you know what my brother's going through here. Now imagine that you never got a chance to see the person that you love the most, that you never got a chance to see their face again, that you never got a chance to see the face of your babies again, that you never got a chance to see the sun come up or the sunset or the pink blooms where we live in. What would that be like to you? Isn't that crazy? And we would desperately want for our vision to return, yes? Now, this is somebody who doesn't have their sight. Go ahead and open your eyes, guys. What I'm going to ask my brother to do is I want him to, by memory, try to make his way back to where he was sitting. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Are you broke?
Yeah. But here's what I do want, right? Wait. Okay, he was going. Look at that, right? Let me just stop before I just, let me finish the object lesson first. Listen. Every one of us in here, we have a need for Jesus, amen? We have a need for healing. We have a desperate need of him, a touch from him. Now we have the opportunity, because the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit guides us. Right? And so I am, for this object lesson, I'm going to be the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you which way to go. So you're going to start walking, and I'm going to try to guide you, okay? Ready? Yeah, I just start walking forward. Okay, now go stop. Turn to the right. Two steps forward. Stop. Turn to the left. Like 20 steps forward. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Look at how confident he's moving. Amen? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Now you stop. Turn to the left. Take 5 steps. Stop. Turn to the right just a little bit. Now take 2 steps. They'll stop there. To the right. 1 step forward. Now take off the mask. Amen. Give him a round of applause. Now what's interesting is that he was walking by what? By faith, guys. He was walking by faith and not by sight. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to do. He says, listen, I'm going to tell you to walk, but you need to listen. Now, how many of us, if we had the blinders on, would have walked a quarter mile to where the pool is? Because guess what? Jesus didn't tell him. What did Jesus tell him that he was going to heal him? I'm just asking. It wasn't until he was obedient and he did it that what? That he received his sight. And God is inviting every one of us. Listen, I know this is a story about a man who was born blind, right? Every one of us in here has been born spiritually blind. Jesus invites us. But this is also a story about being obedient to what God asks you to do, even when you don't understand. Because Jesus is the one who is asking, amen? And when Jesus asks, how about we just stop asking all these questions and we just be obedient to the ask? God is awesome, amen? Now, here's another one, right? Let's just answer this question, because a lot of us, we become philosophers. When things happen in our life that we don't understand, we always say, why did this have to happen to me, right? I preached this message a couple times. We have our oldest son is on the autism spectrum. Our other ones are different. But that was one of the questions, too, that we always had. It's like, why did this have to happen, right? Why couldn't we have born like with a son that was 100%? Now, he's healthy, but his mind is wired a different way, right? Odds are, in a room this size, right, 1 in 43 kids now is on the spectrum. You probably know somebody, right? Show of hands. who knows somebody that, yeah, right? We don't know why. We started asking all kinds of different questions. We were philosophers about different things. And I always said, I will never fully understand it, but I know that God is working. I know that He is moving. I know the testimony of what God has done through His life. And the fact, one of the reasons why I came to Christ was because of that. I'll be quite honest with you. I wrestled with it because I wanted to have all the answers. And this is one where God says, you're not going to get the answers, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to walk by faith a little bit. Well, but just a little bit of a tidbit there, because I know we've got a lot of ground to cover. And this is not that, this message is not about that. But listen, if something is going on, if you're in a place, right, where you quite understand it, or you get a diagnosis, or you get something that you don't, listen, this is just eternity. This is not eternity. God is preparing us for something better. We just sang all about that today. Amen? And so we got to keep trusting, keep being obedient. But then God will surprise us along the way, right? With the little miracles is what I call it. And they're celebrated a lot differently. But God is still in the middle of all of it. Amen? In the middle of our misunderstanding, in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our suffering, God is there. And it's not because He's doing it to afflict us, right? I mean, He's not doing that. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm Jesus' favorite, right? Yeah, amen? You guys don't believe me. Yeah, see, there you go. See, the exactly, right? All of you, you're Jesus' favorite, God's favorite. Why would He have tried to afflict you with some pain and some heartache, right? It's for God's glory. It's all for God's glory. But the thing that we're gonna pick up on a few key themes from today's passage. And I'm going to keep reading and I'm going to come back to them. And we stopped. And actually, let me just show you guys a couple more slides. Because I, you know, whenever I start prepping the message, I'm a nerd. I love to see maps and pictures. And so, Lily, go ahead and throw the next slide up there. All right, this is a representation of where it is. See, this is the temple, and see, this is how far you would have to have walked down here, right? Can you imagine? Now, I asked my brother to walk maybe 10, 15 yards. He did a good job, by the way. He did a good job. Thank you, brother. A lot of people would have been nervous to not come up here, but you did a great job. And so that's how far he had to walk down. Now, that's a graphic. Go ahead to the next slide. What's really cool about this is that when you go through and you look at it, right, these places actually still exist, guys. To me, that's so cool. Actually, this was discovered, the lower pool, the Pool of Siloam, was discovered in 2005 because the city was actually digging. What do you think this is right here? It's a sewer pipe. And they were excavating and doing a project, and they encountered it, and they're like, oh my gosh, right? And so they actually found that the Pool of Siloam is a good. Next slide, Lily. And that's a representation of what it looks like now. Isn't that awesome? That's so cool, right? So when you actually go through the scriptures, you're like, it's not like a place, it's just, it's real, it happened, these places are still there, you can visit them today, or at very least, look them up, right? That is good. But let's keep reading. Let's keep reading, because verse 13, it says, now verse 12, let me just wrap up, it says, where is this man? They asked. I don't know, he said, right? Actually, no. His neighbors, did I read verse 8 already? I don't think I did. Let's read verse 8. It says, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging said, isn't this the man? Yeah, I did read that. Some claimed he was, others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself says, I am the man. How is it that your eyes were open? And he replied, the man that they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to Shalom and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, brought the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes. And the man replied, I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked him, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. When they turned again to the blind man, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one who you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. This is why his parents said, "Ask, he is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open his eye, your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him, and they said, "You are this fellow's disciple. You are a disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly persons who do his will. Nobody has ever heard of the opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Man, I love this encounter. I love this blind man. Isn't he just like, his testimony is so raw. He doesn't care that he's being like, the religious leaders are asking him all kinds of questions. He's like, I couldn't see, now I can see. Hey, he put mud on my hands and now, and I love it when he says, "Why are you asking me again? You want to become his disciple too?" Isn't that awesome, right? Just the honesty of his testimony. Listen, I know a lot of times when we talk about in the church, we're talking about how we want to reach people for Christ, and we always feel like we are intimidated, like, "I don't know enough scriptures. I don't know how to approach people. I don't know how to talk to them." Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's already done something amazing for you, amen? It's your testimony. And when we talk about the pains and the hurts and all the things that he's brought us out of, whether in this particular case, it was his blindness. But some of us have recovered and we have victory over some very serious things, right? Addictions, pains, depressions, anxieties, that God has freed us from those things. Amen? And so what do? We just tell our story. He didn't go back and say, "Well, I don't have my PhD. I don't have all these things memorized." They already knew that. This is why he was just being honest with his testimony. And that's number one, the thing that we're asked to do, right? And today's message, the first fill in the blank, hold tightly to Jesus and hold loosely, right, to religion. Hold tightly to Jesus and loosely to religion. Because religion doesn't save. Religion does not save. The Pharisees were the most religious folks. None of us would be that religious. None of us has memorized the first five books of the Old Testament. None of us have practiced, you know, that if you go, even nowadays, right, if you had to push a button in the elevator, you're working. You can't even do that on the Sabbath. How is that giving God the glory outside of being super religious? Do you think that that's bringing anybody closer to God by saying, "I'm doing zero work"? Now, some of us wish we were Jewish because we're like, "Man, I love that. A day where I do absolutely nothing." But that's not what God came, right? He didn't come for us to be saved by religion and by these little things. That's why he sent his son. And we need to hold tightly to Jesus, but loosely to religion. And that's what we see this man doing, is he's just holding on to his testimony about what God had done to him. And he was having a one-on-one, I think, an awesome sparring session with the religious leaders of his time. Amen? Because they also, the religious leaders, that they believed, like the first one that we talked about, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born this way. That's a doctrine. That's a belief system. And those things create division, to be quite honest with you. And so we're called to hold on to Jesus and loosely to the religious activities. And a lot of times that's what gets us in trouble, if we're honest. It's the differences between us, right? It's like the differences. And you've heard me say this before. I'm very mindful of it. Like, we're not here to say, like, though this church and that church. Now, there is some churches that are, we're not surprised, right? The gospel say it, right? Paul says very clearly that in the end times, you're going to have false prophets, false teachers. We have to be true to the word. That's why we have to test and approve what this book says. Amen? But oftentimes we end up spending a lot of time about like what this church does and that church does, that church and this church. If we're true to what the gospel and the Bible is saying, we shouldn't be doing that, guys. The enemy, he's winning the fight. If you look at it, right? If you look at the decline of the church, there's enough for us to do without infighting, right? We need to be busy reaching people for Christ. Amen? The second point that I want to point out today from this passage that we just is that people won't always rejoice at what God is doing in your life. This is really sad. People won't always rejoice at what God is doing in your life. I know in the world, there's a famous word that when you have nice things and you have a certain, you people see you being successful, the people want to bring you down. Those people are called what? They're called haters, right? I'm going to tell you right now, they exist inside the church too, right? And outside of the church, because a lot of times people don't know what God is doing. They can't see it, right? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, that when you're born again, it's a spiritual, it's a regeneration, and people won't understand it. Why? Because they can't see it. They'll start to see the fruit, right? But even then, you're not as fun as it used to be. You don't want to come and hang out anymore. What happened? Right? Does that sound familiar at all? Anybody's testimony? You stop getting invited to a lot of different things. Like, this is a true story. When we came to Christ, we stopped getting invited to, like, everything. I was like, man, my family is like, I thought they loved me. Not my immediate family, but, like, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles. Because for them, it was a big deal that we left the Catholic Church. Right? Which, I never even went to church. So what were they mad about? Like, I was a bad Catholic, so why? What's? I mean, they should have been glad that I stopped going, because I was my MO was like, and this Stephanie say this, don't chew gum in the church, right? Don't say bad words, but in the parking lot, it's all game, free game. That's the kind of Catholic that I was, right? Terrible, right? So, but we stopped getting invited. And people were not excited about what God was doing in our lives. You know, the real heartbreaking part of this passage, if you look at it, is what the parents, right, say. Number one, the friends too, right? People that lived in, the neighbors, they had seen him for a long time. How many times do you think that they walked by this man? He had been blind from birth. And now he was old enough to, they said it a few times, he's old enough, he can speak for himself. Now, in the Jewish tradition, that was usually you're about 30, to be quite honest with you. So for 30 years, people had known him. Imagine if you knew somebody that you walked by every single day. And then you see him coming around, seeing and talking. And what's interesting is that they said, isn't this that guy? Wasn't he begging? I don't know if you pick up on that. Why? How many times do you think that they had walked by him, and by that time he had become what? Invisible. He had become invisible to them. And when we read the scripture, oftentimes we will pass, we'll skip it, because we always read ourselves as like the hero a little bit. You know what I mean? But the reality of it, that there's somebody that we know today that we walk by, or you see them every day at work, or they're part of your family or your circle group, that they're also blind. But it's a spiritual blindness. And we walk by them every day like nothing. We walk by them and don't even, right? Well, they're good. We're not immune to it, guys. God is calling us to share the good news of who He is. God is inviting us, right, to have empathy and to see people. Listen, I know it's like oftentimes it's like we get our salvation. My family's good. I'm good. But we don't love people enough to make them comfortable to tell them the truth about where they're going without Christ. Do you guys understand that? There's people that we know that are spiritually blind that need to know the truth about who Jesus Christ is. And God has placed those people strategically around you. I don't know if you know that. So that you can do what? Share the good news. Encourage them. Pray for them. Come alongside them. Love them. See them. Because sometimes it's right in front of us and we will turn what? The other way. It's easier to turn the blind eye, right? It's easier than to get into somebody's... I'll be honest with you. Oftentimes people who are spiritually blind, let's just be honest. There's something happening. There's a lot of... Every one of us in here, before we came to Christ, we had our own personal story of turmoil and drama and heartache and pain, yeah? And so oftentimes those people are like, I'm not sure I want to get up. I don't want to be up in that mess or that drama. And we kind of just were like... You think Jesus did that? You think God does that? John 3:17, right? 3:16, you guys already know. That He loved, right? He took action. He did something to redeem. You're invited to do the exact same thing. Not because you're saving, but because God has the power to save. Amen? So, the first one is, let's not act like we don't see those people. Let's meet them, right? Where they are for Jesus. The second one is that the parents were more concerned. In John chapter 9:18, it says they still didn't believe right until they had sent for his parents. And the parents say, ask him. He's of age. Right? Ask him yourself. And then John tells us why. Why? Because they were afraid, because the religious leaders have said that anybody that confessed or believed that he was the Messiah, they would be thrown out of the synagogue. Oh my gosh. They were afraid, right? Now I'll tell you that if somebody came and spit mud on Jesus's head and on Ethan's head or whatever, and the next day he was coming and talking to me and I couldn't shut him up from all the conversation he was having to me, I don't care who would ask me, I would crawl over glass to come tell the story about that. Do you understand that? So even when I look at that, I was like, man, how sad that the parents themselves are more worried about the religious thing, right? This is why we're saying the religious thing gets you in trouble. But cling tightly to Jesus. The parents themselves were more concerned about their position and they didn't want to be a part of it. And lastly, of course, you guys already know, the religious leaders were more concerned about their agenda. Right? They weren't hearing whatever. It didn't matter what he said. They had already made up their minds that Jesus was a sinner. And they were looking for ways to do what? To kill him. They weren't after the truth. They were looking for ways to get him to, you know, I always say, commit blasphemy is what they always said. That's the final charge that they caused. You put him on the cross for. But we'll learn more about that in a couple of weeks. Those guys knew more about God than anybody, but they had not an ounce, I think, of what God's love is. You know what I mean? Can you imagine that? And we're going to keep reading. And we're going to be now... Let me see if it turned back. Verse 35. And it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and that those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What, are we blind too? And Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. Amen. This is an awesome encounter. He's thrown out, right? The blind man is part of that. He's actually kicked out as well. And that's where Jesus has an encounter with him again. And I love what he says, because his response would be our natural response. He says, Do you believe in the Son of Man? And Jesus says, Seen him, and in fact, he is the one speaking to you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He worshipped him. Now the Pharisees were on the side, right? And they said, Am I blind too? And he says, pretty much what Jesus is telling them is like, Listen, I came to restore the spiritually blind, but you claim that you have, he's like, Yeah, you have that guilt on you. Does that make sense? Because number three, the main takeaway from this passage and this whole thing is that God's love restores our spiritual blindness. God's love restores our spiritual blindness. In 39, that's where he says, For judgment I have come into the world, so the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Those Pharisees were so full of themselves and full of their religion that they missed it. Can you imagine? That you missed it. You imagine being in front of Jesus and you missed it. My gosh. But every one of us in here, if we're honest, at some point in our life, we were spiritually blind. And we thank God that He is patient. We thank God for His mercy, for His goodness. That even despite our blindness, and if we're honest, open rebellion to God, that He cared enough still, right, to send His Son on the cross for us. That's our God. We don't deserve it. You guys have heard me say this before. We deserve justice. I'll ask my kids, what does every sin deserve? What does every sin deserve, Lily? The wrath and curse of God. But He exchanges it and He gives us His Son instead. Mercy and love. And that's our God. And He's awesome. Listen, today's main message, right, is cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus, not the religious activities. Get to know Him. We're in the season of Lent. Cling to Jesus. Seek Him out. Find Him. He's not, you've heard me say this before, you are as near or as far away from God as you want to be. But we have to make time to get into our Word and pray and go to fellowship and go to community groups, go to the women's meetups, go to the men's breakfasts. Why? Because those things are important. You're not meant to do this thing alone. We're fools if we think that. When Nico was up here, I was gonna call like four or five guys to like beat up on him, right? Because enemy, right, wants to rob, steal, and kill and destroy, right? And then I was gonna have Henry come over here and just like knock people down and, right? That would have been that's another object lesson. Because that's what God does, right? God fights for us. He empowers us. He equips us. We have victory in His name. We're as near as far from God as we want to be. So we need to cling to Jesus. It's not our religion that's going to save us, guys. You guys have heard me say this before. Not things, and I'm not against it. There is very real. We talked about this in the very first week about needs to fast and needs to pray and having those things. Those are activities that draw. Those are spiritual disciplines. We need them. But God has to be at the center of it. I keep saying this because right now we're in the season where people are not drinking soda and they're not eating cake because that's their, like, that's going to draw me closer to God if I just don't drink a Pepsi. I don't see that in the Bible, guys. But there is people praying. There is people fasting. There is people seeking Him out. There is Jesus saying that what? That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we seek Him out that way. Cling to Jesus. Amen. We're going to switch gears a little bit because we're going to celebrate. We're going to observe communion today. And this is what we're preparing ourselves for. You know, right now, you heard me say earlier that Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Festival of Tabernacles. And when Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, everybody else is there for a different celebration. It's for the Passover. Right? And when we celebrate, God has done, He's restored us to Himself and cured us from our spiritual blindness. We have to remember what it cost Him. It cost Him, I would tell you guys, you know, how you know when somebody loves you and they love you for real? Because they'll give up everything. And I say this in earnest, and I mean it. You've never really loved somebody until it's just about cost you everything. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And guess what? Jesus did that freely. God sent His Son that we might have a way back to Him. And I'm going to cover some more about the Passover meal and what that means. But Jesus came as a substitute, just by the same way that the lamb was a substitute, right? And served, and the blood served as a covering in the book of Exodus. And the angel of the Lord, right, flew over. And we're covered by the blood of Jesus now. And we're saved by the blood of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate communion. It's not just a religious thing that we do, that every 4 weeks we're like, oh yeah, the little bread and the little juice cup. I'm hungry. It helps me. I like the way the juice tastes. Not that. It's not enough to sustain you. You guys are going to go eat burritos and tacos after. But it's a remembrance of what God did in the covering, right? And the sacrifice of His Son on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And how the judgment passes over us because Jesus took it all on the cross for us. Our sin, punishment that we deserve. You guys heard me say this 3 weeks ago. The shame of it. The shame of it. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, Your goodness, Lord God. Thank You that You are the God that is amazing, that You love us, Lord God, even if we don't deserve it. We deserve Your wrath. We deserve Your curse, Lord God, because we are sinners. But instead, You exchange it. And You sent Your Son to save us. You didn't send Your Son to condemn. You sent Your Son to save, Lord God. And we see that in Your Word. So thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness. He is coming back. In the interim, Lord Jesus, You gave us a command to observe communion and to remember what it cost You. And it cost You everything. It cost You Your life. It cost You separation from God. Thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness. I will never fully understand it, Lord Jesus. But Lord, as we prepare and as we get ready to take communion, Your Word is very clear. Number one, communion is for believers. So if you haven't given your life over to Christ, there'll be an opportunity to do that. But number one, you have to trust in God and His goodness. If the Holy Spirit has been prompting you and you're still walking around in a little bit of this spiritual blindness, it's very simple. You just ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. You can do it here, you can do it at home, but there's no greater decision that anybody can make than about the person of Jesus Christ. And He is who He said that He is. He is the Son of God. He came to give His life as a ransom for the forgiveness of our sins, for the salvation of the world. And for those of us that are believers, Paul tells us very clearly that whenever we eat the bread or drink of the cup, we need to do it in a manner that is worthy. And so we need to examine our hearts before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Because those who eat the bread and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So everybody's praying. I'm going to pray for us corporately, but please, you pray and ask God to forgive you. If there's something that is on your heart, if there's a sin that you know that you need to repent and turn, ask God right now. Bring it to Him. Surrender it to Him. Today's the day. Of this kind of like not being sure, just today's the day. So if you're walking around in spiritual blindness, let's pray that prayer first. Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say that you are. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came to set me free from the bondage of sin. And I believe that you are resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. So Lord Jesus, will you come into my heart? And Holy Spirit, will you continue to guide me and strengthen me on my journey, Lord? Help me to just live for you, because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. For the rest of us, Father God, will you forgive us, Lord, of our sin? For God, thank you again, Lord, for your love for us and your mercies that are renewed daily for us, Lord. Help us to examine our hearts, Lord. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. So, Lord, just listen to the prayers and the petitions of your people, Lord God, and help us before we take communion to make sure that we are right with you, Lord God. God, thank you again for your love for us, that you sent your Son, that those of us that believe would be saved, Lord God. Continue to watch over us, guide us, and keep us. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for the reminder that you, and the sacrifice that it cost you, Lord God. Cost your life on the cross. We don't do this. We don't take it lightly, Lord God. We remember and we acknowledge, Lord, what you've done for us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and for your sacrifice, Lord God, that you came to give your life as a ransom for the salvation of sinners like us. Lord, you are so good to us, Lord God. Continue to be with us. Guide our hearts, Lord God. Continue to draw us near to you and help us to cling to you, Lord Jesus. Not to the religious activities that are going to leave us, fill us with pride and self-righteousness, but really just to be a people that loves you, Lord God. A people that clings to who you are in humility, to be formed in your image and in your likeness, Lord God. That the Holy Spirit would fill us, Lord God. That people would know that we are your followers because of the fruits that you manifest in our lives, Lord God. Thank you again for your grace and your goodness. Continue to watch over us, guide us, protect us, and keep us, Lord. Love you. In Jesus Christ's name.